I knew what the outside world would think about it. I just didn't know what the golf world would think about it. And if I could figure out both, then I feel like we would be the only company that would truly ride that line of streetwear and golf.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Benjamin Gottlieb, and you are listening to Shopify Masters, your companion for starting and building a business. You know, great ideas can change how industries operate. And change is coming from Olajuwon Ajanoku and Earl Cooper. They're the founders of Eastside Golf, and this is not your grandfather's golf company. Their brand designs golf apparel and accessories for the contemporary golfer while still meeting professional golf guidelines. And they're doing a ton with getting kids involved in golf too, especially for communities that have historically been left out. Olajuwon and Earl are my guests today, and so happy, guys, to have you here on Shopify Masters. Thanks for doing this.
Nah, I appreciate you having us, Benjamin.
Thanks for having us.
This is dope.
I agree. And by the way, full disclosure, I'm a big golf fan. So sorry to my listeners if I get too into it today. But just to start, guys, why golf?
Yeah. I've been playing golf since I was 6 years old, all the way through middle school, high school. I mean, golf taught me a lot about myself growing up. I mean, I would say I was raised on the golf course, you know, and didn't have, I would say, a lot of a father figure after a certain point in my life, you know, at home. And when I would go to the golf course.
And where was home, by the way?
In Atlanta, in actually East Atlanta. And it's crazy, me growing up on the golf course, you know, I'm around judges, accountants, lawyers, doctors, entrepreneurs, all of these positive people that I actually saw what I wanted to be like, or I asked them so many questions, you know, day in and day out, but just to become a better me at the end of the day, you know, and then also build my circle and also find mentors as well. That's where I would say why golf to even start off with.
You know, you mentioned judges, entrepreneurs, attorneys, other folks on the golf course, right? These are the stereotypical golfers, right? When you think about golfers, and let's be honest, there are a lot of stereotypes associated with golf. It's exclusive. It's only for a certain type of person, how that person looks. But for your brand, that is not at all who you're targeting, or in fact, how you're approaching marketing, right, Earl?
Agreed. No, I mean, I think we certainly positioned our brand as, you know, kind of removing barriers and allowing everyone to essentially define what golf is to them, right? So whether you're a miniature golfer, whether you're a putt-putt golfer, whether you're playing golf for 11, which we have guys like Wyatt Worthington competing in the PGA Championship, you know, we make apparel for you. And then even if you don't play golf, we often like to say you don't have to play golf in order to wear Eastside Golf. You know, we just want to create quality products. There's certainly a story around the product, and we ourselves love the game. So if it's something that you're interested in and want to do, we're here for it. But we would also say we don't want to lose anyone that necessarily feels like because their skill levels, they can't wear Eastside Golf, or because they're not interested particularly in the golf, that they can't wear Eastside Golf.
So similar to how any sports apparel might work, whether it's Nike or Reebok or Adidas, you don't have to be a basketball player to wear Jordans, for example.
That's exactly correct. We want to create a brand that services everyone. You know, you ask the question, why golf? I mean, we're golfers at our core. That's what brought us together. That's what continues to, you know, I think the through line. But at the same time, we also understand, like you said, it's just more about like basketball and Jordan brand. It's the greatness that's associated with it. And so for us, it's the greatness of the game that's associated with it, but it's something for everybody.
Olajuwon, I want to go back to this origin story you shared with me just a few moments ago. Growing up in East Atlanta, growing up on the golf course, what was it like for you as a young man on those courses? What was the experience like? And did you feel like you fit in, like you were part of the golfing community, or was there something missing?
So, I mean, and Earl, I guess, can contest to this, but growing up in the South, in Georgia, and playing golf, it looked, and I would say when I was growing up, or even now, totally different than a lot of other places. You know, a lot more people that look like me, a lot more diverse crowds that are out on the golf course, a lot more people that I can, you know, truly feel like I can be myself out there, and especially where I just practiced at. You know, when it came to tournaments, you know, it was a different feel. I was usually the only, I would say, black person there, you know, at times.
At the tournament?
Yeah, at the tournament. At the tournament.
And this was when you were playing, what, junior or professional golf?
Yeah, this is junior golf. This is junior golf. And then even a little bit of high school golf. I mean, my team was all black, but all the teams that we played against usually were all white, you know, unless it was a few other schools that were close by. But, you know, at the end of the day, the game taught me so much about myself. And I wanted to turn back pro at one point. And that was after I was in commercial finance for 8 years. But the whole thing was I couldn't find any sponsors, you know. So I created this logo. You know, I was going to put this on my bag and put this on my polo. And I was going to turn pro, and it was just going to be my logo. It's me at the end of the day. And I showed it to Earl. He was like, yo, you need to just put that on a T-shirt. And put it on a T-shirt, gilding, ironed it on, went downtown Detroit. And I was still in commercial finance at the time, but I went downtown for a couple of hours. I maybe got stopped like 120, 130 times.
No way. Just looking at the logo.
Yeah. Who are you? What's that logo? Where can I get it? And do you play golf? From there, I was like, damn, I got something, but still don't know what it is. You know, so I went back to Earl. Just like, he was doing his own thing, and he was just like, run with it. So I ended up creating T-shirts, socks, lapels, umbrellas, sweatshirts, you know, and the first 3,000 orders I shipped out from my apartment in Detroit myself. And from there, I knew we had a brand, you know, but I knew what the outside world would think about it. I just didn't know what the golf world would think about it. And if I could figure out both, then I feel like we would be the only company that would truly ride that line of, let's say, lifestyle and golf or streetwear and golf. And that's what we're doing now. So at the end of the day, I started this brand because I was tired of being told no. You know, why not take the entrepreneur route and sponsor myself to get back into professional golf? And hopefully I'll be turning back pro next year.
Well, we wish you all the best. And it's really fascinating because we do a lot of these interviews and there are a lot of similarities, not necessarily in the product, but why the product gets created. Oftentimes it comes from this fact that no one else is doing it or no one else is supporting you. And it's like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going on my own. I'm doing this my own. For folks who are not watching us, but just listening, I want to describe the logo a little bit. Both of you are wearing, looks like hoodies that have the logo on them. Maybe Earl, tell me about the logo itself.
Yes, as Olajuwon said, I mean, he is the logo. So it's clearly a black man swinging a golf.
He's the Jerry West of Eastside Golf, you mean?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. So he's out there swinging a golf club, and it was really inspired by kind of two photos of Olajuwon. He has a photo of him as a child swinging a golf club, and it's kind of getting in the right position at the top. It's like the optimal position. And then there's another photo of him with the gold chain. And so kind of in combination of those, you know, for him, it just represents being your true authentic self, kind of freedom and just like really just getting up there and crushing it, you know, and just giving it. I think we all as golfers like to get up there. It's nothing like hitting a hard driver right now. It doesn't always go straight, but it's nothing like getting up there and gripping, ripping the driver. And so this is kind of like the epitome of that moment, right? Right before, you know, you stripe it.
And by the way, you can check out the logo and all of their items from T-shirts to pants to also driver covers. It's eastsidegolf.com. Fellas, let's get back into how we actually turn this from an idea into a business. So, Olajuwon, you're back in Detroit. You want to go pro. You can't find sponsors. And you're basically like, you know what? I'm going to put this on my bag. I'm going to go at it. You get stopped on the street walking downtown. When did you know that you had something that was more than just putting a logo on a T-shirt?
There were a couple of instances, of course. You're going to be like, of course. But the first one was CJ Paul, Chris Paul's brother. He reached out to us and he was like, I love what you guys are doing. Love what you guys stand for. I mean, we even had the PGA of America and PGA Tour reposting some of our posts and that stood on diversity, you know. And
posts on Instagram or on
where? Posts on Instagram. Yeah, I mean, they would literally repost some of our posts and say some of the same words that we're saying and just really, literally just take our stance with us. And He saw what we were doing and he was just like, this was during the bubble. And he was just like, we love what you're doing. We love your story. Let's buy two of everything for me and Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, of course, is a big golfer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then when the NBA boycott happened, him and Russell Westbrook were walking down the tunnel. And you can rewatch it over and over again. It was on CNN, ESPN. It was on like Bloomberg TV. But Chris Paul was literally from head to toe in Eastside Golf. His hat, sweatshirt, shorts, socks, all Eastside Golf, walking with Russell Westbrook when they announced the NBA boycott. And you know, at the time, he was the head of the NBPA. So the National Basketball Players Association, that worried about basically like the union of the NBA. So that time I knew. And then when we had to pitch to Michael Jordan, we met Gentry Humphrey, who used to be the VP of Jordan Brand, and played golf with him. He loved us so much. Well, first, CJ Paul introduced us to Gentry, played golf with Gentry. He loved us so much. He was just like, I want you guys. Well, first off, do you want your own shoe? We said, absolutely. You know, and right. That was our first Jordan 4 golf shoe that we came out with. But he said, well, first,
do you want your own shoe?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think the answer is? Yeah.
And from there, he was just like, well, you do have to pitch to MJ. You know, it'll be 30 minutes or something like that. And we got in there, we pitched, and he stopped us literally in the middle of our pitch. It was just like, man, you two guys have two amazing stories. At Jordan Brand, we tell the best stories. Have we signed him? Looked at his team. Have we signed him yet? You know, and then from there on,
Michael Jordan said this to you in the pitch meeting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then from there, we end up getting our first shoe and have come out with 9 Jordans so far over the past 3 years.
I mean, just hearing you mention these folks, by the way, for our audience who's listening, Olajuwon was talking about the bubble. This was the NBA bubble during COVID and, of course, the boycott during the racial justice protests of 2020. When you hear these stories of these incredible athletes that you're with and the fact that they are interested in wearing or supporting your brand, it says something about you two, but it also says something about where the game of golf has come, right?
Absolutely.
Earl, what has happened with golf that it has now grown into something that is not just for, you know, the judges and the entrepreneurs that Olajuwon was talking about earlier, but now really it is starting to represent more of what Americans look like?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, I mean, the game has evolved. And I think a lot of it happened during COVID. So the timing of the brand was just optimal. You know, in entrepreneurship, you need good timing. And so I think the timing was definitely right, but we were clearly prepared for the moment. I mean, golf is just exploding right now. When you think of all the stats, I think it was just like 10 million people picked up the game of golf last year, 10 million new golfers. It was a stat that I'd recently heard. And, you know, that includes the top golfer, right? And so, you know, you got new leagues forming like LIV and, you know, junior golf, you know, is still exploding. So across the board, there's just huge opportunities with 5-iron that's popping up all over these different cities. I know Golf Zone just partnered with Troon. So from simulations to miniature golf to golf courses in itself, I think it's just exploding. And I think you're also starting to see a lot of, you know, household names, you know, your favorite athletes in other sports. That's what they do. You know, Patrick Mahomes, a prime example, wins the Super Bowl, but he's out there, you know, he has a couple holes at his house, actually.
Right.
Jason Tatum, same sort of thing. You know, he's got a golf simulator in his home.
Steph Curry wins a golf tournament, right?
Huge golfer, Tahoe Classic, got the hole in one. And so, these are all these sports, you know, even Tom Brady's picking up the game now, you know. And so, in general, it's just the game that it's the ultimate challenge, right? And so, you have these amazing athletes, but then it's also the ultimate connector. You know, we often talk about the ability to connect with people and spend quality time with them. And it's something that you can do for a lifetime. So it's certainly one of those things where we feel like we're servicing all of those people. And we're just super excited to see that because we grew up in a world where our families didn't play, you know, so we understand that dynamic. But then, you know, we're also friends with the Rory McIlroys, the Tony Finaus of the world. And so we understand kind of we sit in between this dichotomy of professional golfers playing at the highest level and people that have never played the game, and we want to bring them together. And we feel like Eastside Golf sits right there in between that.
Well, there's no question that you guys have enjoyed a lot of success. I want to get into some more about how you've built this brand in a moment. My guests today, Olajuwon Ajanaku and Earl Cooper, the founders of Eastside Golf. Before we continue, I want to take a moment and thank you, the listeners, for joining us each week here on Shopify Masters. You know, wherever you get your podcast, please leave us a review, a comment. We'd love to know what you think of the show, of this episode even. And again, thank you so much for your continued support. Olajuwon, you mentioned some of the incredible partnerships that you have had the pleasure of getting involved with, from Michael Jordan to, we haven't mentioned this yet, but Mercedes-Benz. For folks who are listening who want to emulate your success in business, how do you go about securing a partnership with a big company?
Yeah, I would say first off, it does start with your brand. Our tagline is be authentic. Like our Just Do It for Nike, our tagline is be authentic. You know, one of the things that I've told Earl ever since the beginning, as long as we're authentic from the start, we don't ever have to change what we're doing, how we do it throughout this entire thing. We can just be ourselves and we can continue to be successful. So I would definitely tell everybody it's strength in being yourself. Like it is strength in being authentic, because then the more you're yourself, the more you'll find more like-minded people. And on top of that, the more you will find your lane. I mean, you just continue down that road, you will find your lane. And that's what we did. I mean, when we talk about really being different and really standing on, I would say, the truth. One of the things that I've told a lot of other golf companies, and I'm not even trying to hide it or anything, but if you want to do what we did, be yourself, be authentic, and tell the truth. You know, and also the only way to grow the game of golf is to go after non-golfers. If you're a member at a country club, how am I growing the game by selling you the next TaylorMade, next Mizuno, next Callaway driver that's coming out next year when you already got the last two that came out? How are we actually right. growing the game? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, that number of what was it, 80 billion of the golf community, that's how much is spent on golf yearly. That number is going to stay at 80 billion, even though it's still growing, you know, but now there's just so many different lanes for growth. And like I said, well, talking about MJ earlier, he called us pioneers of the game. And he said that because we're doing something that he's tried to do within Jordan Golf, but he knows exactly how hard it is. You know, I heard earlier you guys were talking about just golf and the direction that we're taking it. And when I say we're trying to take golf to culture, culture is for everybody. When I say culture, culture is just non-traditional. If you're into non-tradition, I don't care what color you are, then you're in the Eastside Golf. You know, it's the same thing with, you see the Ralph Lauren logo. I mean, everywhere, everybody wears Ralph Lauren, but does not play polo. It's the same thing with us. You don't have to play golf to wear Eastside Golf. I mean, there was a young man, we just had a meeting with Steve Stout, and he saw a guy that was actually sitting next to Mary J. Blige courtside at the last Knicks game. He had on Eastside Golf. And Steve talked to him, he asked him, yo, do you play golf? He was like, nah, I just love the logo, you know, and I feel like it represents me. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to see this logo and feel like it represents them, that they could just truly, if you look at the logo, they're just being themselves. Doesn't matter what they have on, jeans, sweatshirt, Air Force Ones or some white sneakers, right. Just swinging a golf club and having a good time doing it. So if you can just truly, from the start, just be yourself, be authentic, the game is missing authenticity. The game is missing non-tradition, you know? And as long as we continue to run down that road and show them new pieces that can live on and off the golf course, we'll continue to be successful.
They'll continue to be successful. And it's really simple yet actionable advice. Be yourself, be authentic. But if I could just push back a little bit, maybe I'd swing this to Earl. Earl, it's not easy to have that self-confidence, right? I mean, it's one thing to say like, hey, you know, this is who I am. I like my brand, I'm authentic, but you also need to have that, dare I say it, that belief in yourself, right? How do you, if you're trying to do something or emulate what you two have done, how do you build that belief in self?
Yeah. At the beginning, it starts with a dream. I mean, me and Earl have been friends since college. We won a national championship together. I know that the things that he's done, you know, his confidence is through the roof with the things that he's done. He's seen me the same way. My confidence is through the roof with the things that I've done. But then when it came to Eastside, we love the game of golf. And to build confidence at the end of the day with Eastside, I had confidence in my golf game and my golfing ability. I knew that I was willing to do whatever in my capacity to turn back pro in golf. You know, whether that's start a company, whether that is, try to raise money. I mean, all the things that I've never done before, literally just jumping into it. Now, prior to this, I was in finance, and prior to this, Earl was in literally, I would say, government policy. So at the end of the day, confidence for me to build this, it started out because I had no other choice, to be honest. I'll even be 100% honest, because we don't usually talk about it much, or I don't usually get to say it much, but I started this business. I had an eviction notice on my apartment door, you know? I mean, I maxed out the credit cards, maxed out the 401k, sold all my cryptocurrencies, and even borrowed the last $10,000 from a guy that sits on our board today. But we actually paid him back a couple years ago, about $25,000. And it was just a napkin signature, like a handshake over the money. So I didn't have any other choice. I was literally packing the first 3,000 orders. I literally would fill up all the blue canisters at all USPS 2 hours out from my apartment, because I would fill them all up. So all these packages have to go out tomorrow. So I got to find the next USPS post office. And I'm traveling from Detroit 2 hours out almost to Indiana, just trying to find somewhere to ship out the packages. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it takes belief. It takes grind. It takes grit. And it takes at the end of the day, sometimes there is no plan B. I mean, I hear it all the time, but to actually live in it, I mean, because there was a point, Earl hasn't always been a part of the brand. I had to convince Earl, you know, I had to convince Earl. I had to get his sweat equity. I had to get Earl convinced, right? Yeah. So I just had to work hard on the Instagram, the marketing, the emails, the entire brand to build it to his place to where it is now.
So again, the need to make this happen, you had no other choice. In other words, this is what you were doing, an eviction notice on the door.
Yeah, I literally started the brand on LegalZoom.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's an incredible story. And I remember years ago, I think it was probably during the pandemic, that I saw you guys, or I saw Eastside Golf on Instagram. I was like, oh, wow. What was the strategy online? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys were very successful in your early days getting the word out on social media.
Man, this is a really good nugget too. But literally, the things, when you go play golf, all the things that we talk about on the golf course is literally what I'm posting. Like, literally, we talk about business and, oh man, did you see the stock go up or down when it comes to college? Who did Callaway just buy? We just talk about Top Golf. When you talk about just different sports, when you talk about a player now getting into, you know, baseball, I mean, just any and every single sport any and everything that we talk about out on a golf course, mm-hmm. for women and men, that's literally what I was posting. But then also talking about just the logo and what it means in our eyes, but not giving everybody else a meaning of what it should mean to them. So continuously just having it open-ended for discussion. And hopefully when people see this logo, it builds self-confidence within themselves.
So in other words, you were just on your strategy for posting on Instagram was basically to mirror what was actually happening in your real life on the golf course. And that was what you think was resonating with folks.
Absolutely. I mean, in me and Earl's, you know, growing up in the game of golf, when it comes to like traditional golf, is not traditional.
Right.
You know, like we're talking, I mean, Earl grew up on the east side of Delaware, and Earl, you can speak more to it, but he literally used to talk about golf to his barbers. You know, I mean, they had the putting mat, and we did a whole episode with Scratch, and but just about his barbers and just talking about golf and them being caddies when they were growing up. You know,
definitely. You mentioned earlier, Elijah, when you guys won the national championship. Was this or was this at Morehouse College? Is that where you guys were playing?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it was our junior year.
An incredible feat to win a national championship. What about that experience bonded you two? And do you think it had anything to do with that moment, Earl, when Olajuwon came to you, was like, hey, I got to convince you, help me, join me, join up with me. Let's do this.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that definitely was the groundwork. I mean, it's obviously my highest achievement in golf. You know, being a part of that team, those are still, all of them are still good friends today. And, you know, we keep in contact and, definitely, you know, just again, just seeing the hard work, the ethic, you know, I mean, the hard work that goes into, you know, winning a national championship and kind of it's nothing like being able to set a goal and then being able to accomplish it. And so that definitely, to your point, kind of laid the groundwork to where, you know, just where we are now. And I think it's still fundamentally a lot of those same things apply, you know, where it's like, you know, you set a goal out and just got to continue to keep working at it. So that you can accomplish it.
Fellas, it's kind of a dream, I think, for many folks to be in business with their friends, right? My grandmother and her best friend started a women's golf and tennis clothing company years ago, right? And that's the dream. But working with your buddy, it doesn't always work out well. So maybe Earl, and then I'll throw it to Lajuan. Earl, what advice do you have for someone who wants to work with a good friend of theirs?
I think you got to understand, like, what's everyone's why? Like, why are you doing it? I mean, I don't think just to do it, just to work with your friend, I don't think that's a good enough reason. You know, I think it has to be a bigger reason than you both. And then I would also say, I mean, it's just communication. It's a relationship, just like any other relationship. You know, you guys got to make sure you communicate. You're not always going to be on the same page. You're not always going to think the same. But again, if you go back to that why and you understand like the ultimate goal is like just at the end of the day, reaching X, whatever that may be, I think that'll just kind of allow you to center. And certainly, you know, I often say, I don't know how people do it on their own. You know, like when you meet people and they're like, yo, it was all me. I had this and I just, it's entrepreneurship is just such a tough road, you know? And I think having the ability to have someone to have your back, to bounce things off of, just to kind of take a breather, because just being, it's 24/7. There is no break. And but to know that you have
someone. Oh, yeah, there's no paid vacation. Like any day you don't work is right. No money in your pocket, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been something that we've been able to been blessed and enjoy, but it's a constant. I mean, I would say working with your friend is just like entrepreneurship. It takes work every day. You know, but it's worth it in the end, you know, but it's definitely a constant grind.
Olajuwon, this wasn't the first idea you pitched to Earl, right? You had another idea that you had pitched him. This is just the one that stuck, right? So how did you know, we kind of been talking around this a lot in this interview, but how did you know this was the idea that would not just convince Earl, but would convince the greater public to buy and invest and be a part of?
So Earl would always be willing to listen, you know, but as far as him believing in it, you have to show me a little bit more, you know, because it was one, I put this one business plan together. It had to be like 30 pages, spiral bound, went to
Kinko's or FedEx. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Went to Kinko's, but I had like three of them made, you know, put the financials together, the artwork, the mission, the why, the how it actually is going to look, there was a food menu, like this entire thing. And he was just like, I mean, how are you going to get it funded? I'm like, well, I mean, you got to introduce me to some guys, you know, that up at the country club. I know you work up there. You know, I love to play golf. Just introduce me. I'll take care of the rest. He's like, all right. I mean, okay. You know, so I think it happened a couple times and he always introduced me. I never did too much. You know, I would always just do the pitch, If they liked it, then okay, then we can move from there. If they didn't, no is a no. I'm used to it. Start another business plan. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But for this one, it already had legs. And when we went down to the PGA show, we actually, in front of him, at the time, he helped me get the first wholesale account. And it was in Osaka, Japan. So to have our first account being in Japan, in another country, and then on top of that, they're so interested in it. They sold out in it in 24 hours and then made a bigger purchase immediately after that. And then the first tournament that we did was the Zozo Championship in 2020 that Tiger Woods won. So we did that. We did that tournament. We were in the merch tent. So, and that all stemmed from just going to the PGA show. So it's like, damn, this really does have legs. It was the work that had to convince Earl. I couldn't talk my way into it. That wasn't going to work. It was more, what's the reason? Why are we doing this? What are the things that's needed? And both of us were hustlers. We just get it done. Whatever needs to get done, we get it done. And, you know, and that's why it works as well. Like, we know the why. At the end of the day, there's nothing that is too big or too small for either one of us to do at this company. Like, to point towards it and let's get it done. Let's get it done.
Speaking of the why, I started this interview with why golf, and I'd like to end it with why Shopify? There are so many options for how you guys could sell your products online. Why did you decide to go with Shopify?
Yeah, I mean, I think Shopify has a host of tools that just make it easier. Whether it be one, it's a universal. Everyone, a lot of people are accustomed to it, right? So there's a lot of tricks and trades out there. I think also the data, you know, like I live and breathe on it. So you can see who's on your website. You can see AOV. You can see sessions. You can see, you know, you can really just begin to start segmenting as well. And that's one of the biggest things that we're kind of getting into, where it's like, how are we targeting our customer? Who's buying what? What time are they buying? All that information, all that data just becomes, you know, informative to where you can, it allows you to scale your company because it's just been great. And then even beyond that, I think Shopify has so many plug-in tools that are so easy to use as an entrepreneur as you begin to, you know, build your business, you know. So you may need to add, you know, the heat mapping, or you may need to add this customer service element or international shipping. And so you may need all that. You may need none of that. And so I think for us, it's just been great to have a platform that you can kind of plug and play as your company scales. And what's important to you, there always seems to be resources there. So it's been great working with Shopify.
Well, we're so glad to hear this. And it's been great talking to both of you on this interview today. I'm also really proud of myself for not talking too much about golf or inviting you out to play, but I mean it. Anytime you guys are out in Los Angeles, would love to get a round of golf in, if you don't mind playing with a 10 handicap.
Let's get it in. All we require is just got to have that East Side golf on. You know, it's going to help you save some strokes too. So
for sure.
It's a win-win.
For sure.
My guests today, Olajuwon Ajanoku and Earl Cooper, the co-founders of East Side Golf. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Benjamin.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Shopify Masters is produced by Gogo Zoger and Megan Coyle. Our engineers are Matt Schwartz and Miku Betlam. Shweng Esther Shan is our host. And I'm your managing producer, Benjamin Gottlieb. Come join us every Tuesday and Thursday for more episodes of Shopify Masters. Until then, take care.